Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
I knew it was going to be a quality race. At the same time, it was quite freezing. I struggled to get myself warmed up and ready. I think for about 200 meters, I was doubting my momentum. And I think last 150 meters, I tried putting in extra gear, but I just couldn't catch my stride until about the last few meters. And I don't know, unconsciously looked up to the screen and I noticed how far ahead I was. And immediately I thought of my health. And realizing that I still have another two more rounds to run. And I thought, if the times aren't going to come, there's no use for me to push it all the way to my limits.
That's Wade Van Niekerk, South Africa's Olympic champion 400-meter runner, who successfully defended his world title in the one-lap race in London. As Wade said, he was far enough ahead that he eased up near the finish line, crossing it in 43.98 seconds. Our Voice of America listeners will remember Van Niekerk set the world record at last year's Rio Olympics in Brazil, where he clocked 43.03 seconds. Stephen Gardner of the Bahamas got the silver in London, and Abdullah Haroon of Qatar got the bronze. Wade Van Niekerk says he's now looking forward to going after another world title in London in the 200 meters.
I love the 200. I love it so much. I got over the finish line with a smile. I could go through the mix zone, interacting with media and the press conference and everything. And I even had a nice jog back to the warm-up area. So I'm very excited. I just hope that I can get good rest tonight, and the body still feels good tomorrow. I trust that coach did the right moves and the right work for this championships. The 400 meter was comfortable, but obviously we all know the pain that comes with that once we cross the finish line. But I'm very excited for the 200 that's coming up, but the body just needs to be ready, and I'll give it my best shot.
Wade Van Niekerk won his second world 400 meter title with an empty lane beside him at the Olympic Stadium in London. Botswana's Isaac Makwala was set to run in the lane, but he was not allowed to compete after vomiting Monday before the heats of his other race, the 200 meters. The International Association of Athletics Federations, the IAAF, said doctors checked Makwala, determined he had a stomach virus that hit a number of other athletes, and told him he had to stay off the premises for 48 hours. In fact, a few hours before the men's 400 meters final, video surfaced of Makwala being escorted away from the athletes' entrance to the stadium. Van Niekerk was asked about Makwala's absence.
It depends whose fault it was. But obviously, there's a lot of fingers that's being pointed right now. I just know he's ill, and he's obviously in a different hotel than what I am in. So it is quite disappointing. I would love him to have his fair opportunity. He was in great, great form. I believe that he would have done very, very well this championships, and I've got so much sympathy for him. I really wish that I could even give him my medal, to be honest with you, but this is sports. These things happen, and each and every one of us need to go out there and fight for opportunities. It could have been any one of us, and any one of us could have lost out on that opportunity, but it's sports. It's a journey. It's life. We all have disappointments. We all have tough times, but you just need to get back up and fight harder.
In more results from the World Athletics Championships in London, reigning Olympic champion Conseslus Kipruto of Kenya won his first world title in the men's 3,000-meter steeplechase race with a time of 8 minutes and 14.12 seconds.
Actually, I'm speedy, but I'm so grateful to be a world champion. This is what I've been looking for since 2013. It was my third championship, but the first two consecutive, I was silver. But last year I got Olympic champion. I was Olympic champion, and my aim call for this year was to be world champion in London 2017. I got what I deserve. I got what I planned for the season. This it was my aim target to be a world champion.
World and Olympic champion Conseslus Kipruto was followed across the finish line in London by Morocco's Soufiane El Bakkali, who got the silver medal, and American Evan Jaeger, who got the bronze. Meanwhile, another American, Sam Kendricks, won the gold medal in the men's pole vault.
Jumping high, coming to the World Championships, you have to assume everyone has at least one incredible jump in them. And when you start stacking incredible efforts on top of one another, it becomes really taxing. I know Renaud knows the jumping that Olympic record on with no misses, having jumped 97, 93, 85, back to back to back in a short concession, is something you don't train for. It's something you have to rise to the occasion for. And that's what makes it really taxing. My goodness, I'm going to wake up sore in the morning. But we're all going to be resting because competitions like these need some downtime.
Rest up, Sam. You've earned it, buddy. Sam Kendricks cleared a world championship winning height of 5.95 meters in London. In another result from the British capital, two-time Olympic champion Barbara Spatakova of the Czech Republic, the world record holder in the women's javelin, won her second world title with a throw of 66.76 meters.
Well, exactly. It's just, I'm really happy that I continue after Rio, and London was the motivation for me to continue, and I'm really happy that I feel the golden feeling again here since the Olympic Games in 2012. It's such a strong feeling, and it happens again here. I love this stadium, and I love the crowd. It's just my place.
That's Barbara Spatakova of the Czech Republic, the Olympic and world champion and world record holder in the women's javelin. In one more result from London, Frenchman Pierre-Ambroise Bosset won the world title in the men's 800 meters race, clocking 1 minute and 44.67 seconds. Adam Kazot of Poland won the silver medal, and Kenya's Kipyegon Bett won the bronze medal. Missing from the race was another Kenyan, David Rudisha, the world record holder at 800 meters, who pulled out of the World Championships last week with a leg injury. Medals will be awarded in three more events later Wednesday evening in London: the men's 400 meters hurdles, the women's 400 meters race, and the women's shot put. Heading into Wednesday's action, the United States topped the London 2017 medals table with 11 medals, 3 gold, 5 silver, and 3 bronze. Kenya is next with 7 medals, 3 gold, 1 silver, and 3 bronze. And South Africa is in third place with 4 medals, 2 gold, and 2 bronze. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. African football news now on the Sunny Side of Sports. Africa's qualifying competition for next year's World Cup in Russia resumes at the end of August. In one of the marquee matches in Africa, Nigeria will host Cameroon in the southern city of Uyo, the capital of Akwa Ibom State. The Super Eagles of Nigeria, currently top Group B in African World Cup qualifying with the maximum 6 points from 2 matches. The indomitable Lions of Cameroon, who lifted their 5th African title in early February, have 2 points. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2017, let's listen in again to a report from Moki Edwin Kinzeka in Yaoundé after Cameroon won this year's Africa Cup of Nations tournament.
Thousands of fans celebrated on the streets of the capital Yaoundé. They hit spoons, dishes, drums, and blew trumpets to celebrate Cameroon's championship victory at the Africa Cup of Nations. This fan, Njitap Anatol, says he is very proud because Cameroon has defeated Egypt by 2-1. He says the Lions can beat any team in the world. Cameroon went into the 16-team tournament with low expectations after 7 regulars called up to participate refused to play. They said they were too busy with important games for their European teams. But others, like goalkeeper Fabrice Ondua, who plays for a Spanish club, did show up winning accolades.
Ondua is a grand sportif.
Football fan Pauline Chejo says Ondua is a great sportsman. He is sticky like chewing gum. When he takes hold of the ball, he does not let it go. Victory has redeemed Cameroon's coach Hugo Broos, who faced criticism after 7 team regulars refused to play. Broos said he did not want players who may not give their best. 15 of the players on this year's Cameroon team were playing in a continental tournament for the first time. One of Cameroon's Premier League coaches, Elundu Kizito, said the team showed patriotism and professionalism.
Lorsqu'on rentre dans l'honnêteté professionnelle, de manière intellectuelle, on comprend que...
He says, although Hugo Broos has never trained a national football team of any nation and faced difficulties assembling trusted players and regulars, he still found the winning formula. He says all coaches should learn from Broos's example. This anthem to the Lions by Cameroon's military band blasts through speakers at the head office of Cameroon's Football Federation. Hundreds of supporters are here awaiting transport to the airport to give the team a hero's welcome. Our Fonka Augustine, governor of Cameroon's Western Region, is one of the fans ready to welcome the team home.
A great day. This is wonderful. Unexpected. I think the majority of us saw this team from the beginning and we didn't believe that they could come up with these wonderful results. Today we see what faith and determination can do. I think they've made all of us proud.
Besides winning the Continental Trophy, Cameroon striker Christian Basogok was voted best player of the tournament, Fabrice Ondua best goalkeeper, and team captain Benjamin Mukanjo man of the match. It was Cameroon's first time to lift the AFCON trophy since 2002. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
Voice of America!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
For more on Cameroon's 5th Africa Cup of Nations trophy, Here's reporter Samson Omale.
Cameroon has been crowned champions of Africa as the indomitable Lions came from behind to beat Egypt 2-1 to claim their fifth AFCON title. It was Vincent Aboubakar who swept in the winner just 2 minutes before regulation time after Nicolas Nkululu equalized for Cameroon to cancel out Mohamed Elneny's opener in the 22 minutes of the encounter. It will be the first time Egypt will be defeated in the final match since 1952. For reaction on the indomitable Lions of Cameroon's victory over the Pharaohs of Egypt, Roland Akong, news coordinator, Equinix Radio and Television in Yaoundé, Cameroon.
There are thousands of young Cameroonians on the streets of Yaoundé jubilating, celebrating the victory of the indomitable Lions to win the most coveted trophy of the continent. This is coming after a very, very long period of time. The last time the Lions attained this side of the competition was in 2008 in Ghana. And since then, the National Football Squad of Cameroon has been unable to qualify even for the second round of the competition. So this final means a lot. It means a lot to the entire nation of Cameroon.
That was Roland Akong, news coordinator, Equinix Radio and Television in Yaoundé, Cameroon. At the end of the 3 weeks of competition, a total of 52 goals were scored in 32 matches, an average of 1.62 goals per match, as Junior Kabananga of DR Congo claimed the highest goal scorer with 3 goals in the tournament. 84 yellow cards were given with 1 red card, while Cameroon committed the most fouls with 138 in total, while Burkina Faso had the most goal attempts with 76 shots. 30 of those were on target. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Voice of America.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on sunny side of life. When we keep on sunny side of life.
I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us once again is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Wednesday? Wednesday, I guess it
is. Yeah, don't make it Monday. Oh, gosh. We don't want to regress back to Monday. But a lot of talk about the UEFA Super Cup final against Real Madrid and Manchester United, which Real Madrid won 2-1. But a lot of the attention on Man U midfielder Marouane Fellaini. First, an unfortunately timed header. As he's going for this header, he takes a ball to the face, which makes it unfortunate in that regard. But then, as I'm sure our producer Bill Werkinger will appreciate, a photographer captured the moment at just the right time and captured a picture where Fellaini's face is contorted and kind of shifted to one side after the impact from that ball. So this instantly became a meme online, hashtag Fellaini face, people photoshopping his face being blown by a fan, comparing it to a melted candle. There's some pictures of him getting punched in the face by some famous boxers, including Mike Tyson. So a lot of fun that fans are having with this kind of bizarre picture. Fellaini, to his credit, he tweeted out, "Thank you to everyone who posted and sent me this," with a bunch of laughing emojis. So he's taking it all in good fun. And so are other players. They're getting in on what they call the Fellaini Challenge, posting their own photos of their contorted faces when they've gone for headers in the past. So this is not unique to Marouane Fellaini. Other players have had this happen to them where their faces kind of get shifted because of the ball hitting their head, and photographers happen to capture that. So that's the one big story, the hashtag Fellaini face that people are talking about. The other is a headband gone wrong. This was another header where Marouane Fellaini went up to try to get this header, collided with Sergio Ramos of Real Madrid, and they clunked heads, unfortunately. They both went down. They ended up being okay, but Fellaini was forced to wear a gauze, kind of piece of gauze taped to his head with a black headband, getting a lot of comparisons to John McEnroe while wearing that headband, because they both have worn that headband, and they both have very similar hair. Fellaini has very crazy hair. McEnroe back in the day had that wild curly hair. So a couple of memes coming out of the UEFA Super Cup for Marouane Fellaini.
You mentioned the boxer Mike Tyson, and I understand another boxer is trending ahead of a mega fight, Andrew.
Yes, Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor have been talking about this fight for weeks, coming up later this month. But ahead of that big fight, Mayweather making some interesting comments and something we might not expect. He says that on paper, Conor McGregor should win the fight, saying that he, Mayweather, is a step behind where he used to be. So this is getting a lot of attention from fans. They're wondering, is it an honest assessment of his capabilities? Or maybe he's just trying to hype the fight even more, trying to make him the underdog. It's interesting that someone so bombastic and brash is saying that he could lose. And so there's a lot of question as to what Mayweather means by that. Mayweather did say also that he owes the public some entertainment after that Manny Pacquiao fight that failed to please a lot of fans. So maybe this is his way of trying to spur up that entertainment, trying to give himself some longer odds so the fight gets a little more exciting.
Andrew, seeing how this is McGregor's first official boxing match, it's hard to see Mayweather as the underdog.
Yeah, I think most fans, including the odds makers, are giving Floyd Mayweather far and away the best odds. But I think a lot of people would like to see a good fight. So this might be an inkling of that, that he's trying to create an even playing field, or an even boxing ring, I guess you could say in this case, so that the fight isn't a letdown like that Pacquiao fight.
The Mayweather-McGregor fight scheduled for August 26th in Las Vegas. And I know the week before that fight week, Andrew, promises to be pretty entertaining, I think.
Yeah, if we thought we saw a lot of hype in the previous weeks when they did their kind of round-the-world tour, the week before that fight is going to blow it out of the water.
What else is trending on this Wednesday, Andrew?
Well, a big name in the sports world is trending for two reasons. Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods this morning entering a guilty plea to his reckless driving charge, which of course stemmed from that incident we talked about back in May, where he was found asleep behind the wheel of his car under the influence of prescription medication. He has been sentenced to complete a program for first-time offenders. He'll be on probation for a year. He'll have to complete about 50 hours of community service and pay some fines, but he avoids any jail time. And if he does all of those things and meets all of those criteria, he'll actually have his record cleared. So fans hoping this is part of Tiger's path back to get to the golf course. He's already, of course, spent time in the rehabilitation program to get back on track with that. He's been spotted by some fans at the gym, and they've put up photos of that on Instagram. So fans are really hoping this is the next step to rebuild and return. We'll see if that's the case, but certainly avoiding any kind of further punishment is a good step in the right direction.
Andrew, sponsorship in sports, always a business winner, I think. And right here in Washington, we have kind of a business sports link today.
Yes, news coming out today that the Verizon Center, where the Washington Wizards play in the National Basketball Association, the Washington Capitals in the National Hockey League, play. They have changed the name from the Verizon Center there to the Capital One Arena, Capital One being a credit card company based just outside of D.C. here. For years before it was Verizon Center, it was the MCI Center, which is another phone company, so it was known as the phone booth. Mm. Fans don't know what to call it now. They're wondering, do they call it the credit card company, the wallet? You know, there's all these kinds of suggestions, but it is interesting. A lot of fans surprised at the immediacy of this. It was this morning announced on this Wednesday, effective immediately by the ownership there. So we'll see what happens when the teams come back in the fall. We'll see if fans take a liking to this name, if they come up with some nicknames, if they call it the Cap Center, which was the old name for the old arena out in Maryland where the Capitals used to play. Remains to be seen, but quite an abrupt change, and one that I think a lot of sports fans here in the D.C. area are going to have to get used to.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much.
And that wraps up the August 9th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United Nations Security Council has passed additional sanctions aimed at increasing economic pressure on North Korea to end its nuclear weapons and missile development program. The resolution we passed, said U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley, is a strong united step toward holding North Korea accountable for its behavior. Ambassador Haley thanked all who voted in favor of the resolution, in particular China, noting their critical role on matters related to North Korea. This resolution, she said, is the single largest economic sanctions package ever leveled against the North Korean regime. It could cut North Korea's exports by a third, costing Pyongyang about $1 billion in revenue. Indeed, the North Korean regime forces their citizens to work in mines and factories in order to fund its illegal nuclear and ballistic missile programs, even as the regime continues to ask for international assistance to cope with devastating floods and a possible drought later this year. Its displays of aggression take precedence over the well-being of its own people. While the latest sanctions are a significant step forward, Ambassador Haley warned that the threat of an outlaw nuclearized North Korean dictatorship remains. Ambassador Haley urged all Security Council members to fully implement the new and previously imposed sanctions. Our goal, she said, remains a stable Korean peninsula at peace without nuclear weapons. We want only security and prosperity for all nations, including North Korea. Until then, this resolution and prior ones must be implemented to the fullest to maximize pressure on North Korea to change its ways.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next, Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth review and discussion on the electoral process and results of the presidential elections in Rwanda and Kenya. Election fever in East Africa. On the next, Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Malaria kills thousands of people each year, but there are some simple things you can do to protect your family. If you can, put screens in your windows. A simple screen can keep disease-carrying mosquitoes out of your home. If you go outside, wear light-colored clothing and long pants and long sleeves, especially when it is dark and mosquitoes are most active. After it rains, empty all containers of standing water. The water in just one discarded tire can become a breeding ground for thousands of mosquitoes. Make sure your home is clear of debris and anything that holds water, including discarded cans, water containers, and rubbish. Empty containers that livestock drink from regularly so that mosquitoes cannot breed there.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.